comedian Michael Rapaport in studio.
Yes, he is.
He's not just a comedian. He's actor first, I think.
Yeah.
And also director. Like, you do everything.
Does everything.
Social media. God.
Yes. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm
it's
glad
a long
to be
time.
Here. Yes, yes.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You want to put your headphones on? Then you'll be able to hear Phil,
yes.
too.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, I can hear you guys.
I know you want to.
Very important you hear what I have to say.
I know you want to. Yes, I see. I'm right, looping in from the background there. Yes,
we keep behind me.
Yes, you should.
I wouldn't.
I'll tell you how long it's been since you've been here. It was before you were in Sully.
Man, that's a while ago.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That was a neat surprise for me.
Yeah, it was fun.
Watching the movie, and I'm like, ah!
Yep.
I know him.
Yep. That was fun doing that movie, and, Tom Hanks and Clint Eastwood, and it's a great story, a great, New York story, so that was fun to be a part of that.
How did you know it was going to be Clint Eastwood and Tom Hanks when you get the initial call?
Yeah, who you got the call. That's who I got the call from. You know, it was from the casting director, and the film was already going. And it's Clint Eastwood's doing a film, and they want you to do this little cameo. And I was like, all right, cool. So
did Clint say he saw you in something that he thought you would be good for this, or how does that happen?
I think they just wanted a New York person. So that's I think how it came about. I don't remember him saying he saw me in something in particular, but he saw me in enough to know that I was a New York person.
It's such an important scene, and you do it so well. Right?
Thank you very much.
That we see in all different kinds of movies, and you're awesome in all these movies. You're so perfect. Were you channeling that happening to you somewhere? Because you were literally surprised that, Sully was sitting at the bar.
Yeah, I mean, I just try to be as genuine as possible. And I know specifically with that film, they just wanted me to be as genuine as possible. And I just was trying to, put myself in the situation best I could. And I think I was able to do it. And obviously, it was exciting to be with those guys. And I'm such a fan of Tom Hanks and obviously Clint Eastwood, so it was just cool to just have that little day at the office.
Then does Clint give you any direction?
He didn't give me much direction. We were chatting about a couple other things. He's very sort of chill and low-key. I don't think I needed that much that day. It was
right.
Pretty,
you're a bartender
pretty,
who's surprised.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
I came in ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. Right. I love how you're putting the coaster down, like, hey, let me know if you need any, and you walk down, and you could tell the whole way you're walking down, you're like, right. Oh, holy crap, that's that dude.
Uh-huh.
And then you come back.
You.
Who are the two guys that were sitting at the end of the bar?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Who were they?
I thought they might have been friends of yours or something.
No.
They're a couple definitely. Characters.
Yeah. No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And I heard Tom Hanks is just a pleasure to work with.
He's real cool, very nice and professional, and he's got a good sense of humor. And, he's Tom Hanks. So you're like, oh, snap, there's Tom Hanks.
He's done everything,
right.
Yeah.
That's got to be weird.
Yep. Yeah,
I mean, even for you. I mean, you've been in a lot of movies.
I am never not a fan first. I came into this as a fan. I wanted to, and I always remain a fan. So I always appreciate being in front of people like that, whether it's Tom Hanks or Robert De Niro or John Travolta or Martin Short and Steve Martin. It doesn't matter who it is. I lead with a fan first. Obviously, when I'm working, I'm professional and I'm there to do my thing, but I always have that part of me that's still alive that I'm excited to be working with these people.
That's wild.
Mike is at the New York Comedy Club in Stamford this weekend. We're linked up on the radio station website. You're going to love that place.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard it's a good club.
Yeah. It's like, Phil, you were there, right?
I went recently. It's very nice. They keep it very dark, except for the stage is very well lit. So everybody has all their attention going right to the stage. It's very cool.
As they should.
Yes,
sir.
As
they should only be paying attention to me and me only, not just on the stage,
but
in life, at the coffee shop, at the beach. It doesn't matter where. It should always be.
Down the street. Yep, exactly.
It should always
be. Get out of my way.
Yes.
Walking through the airport.
100% all the time.
Exactly, right. In the men's room, don't even talk to me.
Yeah, I like the lights dim around me.
Even if you're hanging off a skyscraper washing windows,
you should
be paying attention to
100%.
Michael.
100%.
Look away from me.
You should see this video he offered these guys. They're dangling like a million stories above New York City. And he's like, hey, you want tickets to my show tonight?
Yeah, that was funny. They heard me screaming from the street, so I was talking to them.
That's
and
loud.
Speaking
that's,
of this,
that's projection.
Yes.
Thomas in Fairfield wants to give you more attention. Thomas?
Oh.
Hey, Mike. How are you, man? I've been a big fan of yours over the last few years, especially with Barstool Sports. I was just wondering, how's your relationship with Dave? And would you come back to Barstool if he like offered you a job again, or are you kind of done with them?
100%. Definitely not.
Oh, not.
Not.
Definitely
right?
not.
Yeah, he has one bite. We're good.
Yeah. I got something to bite.
What happened there?
He doesn't matter. They don't matter. None of it matters to
so
me.
So it's done.
Yeah.
100% done. Like a lot of other people are done with them.
Yeah.
Got it. Hey, thanks for asking, Thomas. But you could get all your sports content on your social media, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not really a sports content place. But yeah, I mean, that you know, yeah, there's so many places to get good content from good people and, you know, that are you know, really love sports and, you know, not just sort of, you know, branding themselves as a sports place. You know, I'm a huge sports fan and it's a great time of the year with NFL right now.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm excited.
I saw
about
your
that.
Rants about the Giants and the Cowboys
brutal,
game.
Brutal. Brutal. And I sat on a plane and watched that game. And that was, you know, when you're on a plane, there's sort of an extra, you know, frustration because you're flying to begin with to watch the Giants.
Right.
And you can't scream at the television.
Exactly. The whole thing. Was
yeah,
just
it's all
rough.
Bottled up.
Yeah. You can't punch the screen. That's the back of someone's head.
Well, you can, but then the federal marshals.
Yeah. You don't want to get kicked off the plane. And like, what do you do? He kicked the plane because the Giants were losing 40.
No flight list. Look at this.
40-0. Yeah. I went to bed. It was like 25 or 6 or
40
something.
40 to nothing. This is like to 40
nothing.
To nothing.
Like, you couldn't get in field goal range the whole day.
But then that would have sucked even worse. Like 40-3 would have been even worse.
Oh, is that worse?
Yeah. I think 40-3 would have been even bad. And it's hard to top 40-0, but 40-3 would have been really bad because it's like, why even kick the field goal?
Right. Just go home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Chaz, there was stats from that game about how bad the Giants were. I can't remember all of them, but they did like 5 or 6 things in one game that no team has ever done before over the course of an entire season.
Wow. I heard that.
Yeah.
They're actually tired from running around so much.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they just had a bad day.
Right.
I mean, it's the worst day in NFL history based on that alone.
Man, that's I heard that stat. That's terrible.
And what do you think? Do you think that's, you know, that's one thing with the Giants, though. You can never count them out. They have had a number of seasons in the last 15 or so years where they should not have been in it. They get in as a wild card, and then they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Giants, you know, you can't count. It's day one. You know, the Chiefs lost the first
that was amazing.
You know, game of the season.
Joe Burrow signed for a whole bunch of money. He looked awful.
Yeah, Jumbo Josh looked terrible. Jalen Hurts.
The Cowboys looked good.
I mean,
it was a freak day.
Yeah,
what's
so
up with that?
I'm not saying the Giants are winning the Super Bowl, but you know, it's the first game of the season, and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of teams come out slow. I don't necessarily agree and understand with why that happens every year. I think because of the lack of, you know, performance and productivity and action during the preseason. But, you know, everything will shake up, you know, in the next few weeks. And hopefully the Giants will. Obviously, I'm a Jets supporter. I'm a Giants fan. More than any of this, I'm a fantasy football player, guru, slash senior analyst.
Okay.
So when you guys said actor, you said director, you did not say fantasy football senior analyst. And that's
I'm writing
fine.
Writing that in right
please
now.
Add that to the next time I come. That
we'll pencil in it first.
Lead with that. Because
with that one, okay.
As much as I love my Giants, as much as I support my Jets, my team, Rappaport's to Light, is really of the utmost importance heading into tonight. You know, not only with my shows at the New York Comedy Club in Stamford, but we're heading into Thursday Night Football. So all that is going to make for a great, great weekend here in the tri-state area.
Think about if you're baseball or if you're basketball, you go a whole season and generate very few stories. Football in one weekend generated more massive stories than those two sports combined an entire season.
That's why football's NFL's the king. I don't necessarily understand that, But, you know, there's 16 weeks. You know, with baseball, what do they play, 462 games a regular season? It seems like it never ends, especially like when you get to September, it's like it's still going on.
Right.
Basketball is a lot of games. Football, every single week is precious, and that's why the teams need to tighten up the ropes. And I never thought that I would say this. I never thought I would say this. I need the Philadelphia Eagles to tighten things up because I have them as my defense and I have Jalen Hurts as my quarterback. So I never thought I would say that.
Right.
I never thought I would say anything positive.
Did you take them willingly or was it by default?
No, there's no default.
Yeah. You set your fandom aside for fantasy football.
There are no feelings.
None.
In fantasy football. Right. I'll say it again.
You're dead.
No feelings in fantasy
football.
You have
to let all that go.
You're dead inside.
All your allegiance, all your childhood hopes and dreams, and my Lawrence Taylor, Jim Burt, Mark Bavaro.
Mark Bavaro,
okay?
Nice.
And my Mark Gastineau and my New York Jets.
Gastineau, wow.
And those teams. All of that is set aside. And when I am saying I need Jalen Hurts, the great Jalen Hurts, and I need that defense to do what it's supposed to do, I mean it, and I mean it with love and affection. And it's confusing for me to say that because I have spent years. If I got a New England Patriot, no.
So Giants is your team? The Giants?
Yes.
Are your team?
Right.
Okay.
The Giants who beat the New England Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. However, if I have a New England Patriot on my team, and fortunately or unfortunately I don't this season, I root for them like they're my own child.
Okay.
What do you do when the Eagles are playing the Giants?
if it's during fantasy football season, I am rooting for my players on the Eagles to do what they need to do. Namely, I know. Wow.
Chaz, it gets weird.
Aside.
So this goes beyond football. You are now, if we were
a fantasy football senior analyst, a fantasy
that's right.
football
that's
guru,
you got to leave that.
Fan.
Right.
That's a fantasy
over football
100%.
Fan.
So when I found myself rooting for Tom Brady with the Patriots, this is when he was in the Patriots. That's when I knew that I had really, like, things had come.
The lines have blurred.
100%.
Right.
The blurred, distorted.
You wind up rooting almost for strange scenarios. So like,
it's disgusting.
If you have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, you're like, I want him to rush for like two touchdowns, but I still want the Giants to win. It's weird.
It really throws you off. But I love my fantasy football. I love it so much. It's so much fun.
Well, you're the guru thing, you know.
Yes, and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The great opening for the former Wide World of Sports, ABC Wide World of Sports.
Oh, yep. Ski guy.
Couldn't be more true when it highs and lows. It's
right.
The highs and lows.
The thrill of victory.
It's brutal.
Right. The agony
but I
of
love
defeat.
It. I
right.
love it.
Michael Rapaport is in. He's at New York Comedy Club in Stanford over the weekend. What did you think of the Aaron Rodgers thing? Did that affect your fantasy football?
It didn't affect my fantasy football. I mean, listen, whether you're a Jets fan, a Jets hater, I think everybody wanted to. No one wants to see any player, no matter who, no matter what sport it is, no one wants to see any player go out like that. You know, it could be your biggest rival. We want your rivals on the field to compete. So that sucked for him. It sucked for the Jets. It sucked for the NFL. I think it makes Aaron Rodgers playing with the Jets and the Jets being good makes the NFL better. So that stunk. That really was a shocker.
It really, another massive headline.
Yeah.
From just one weekend of football.
And it's crazy because it put the Jets into, I mean, they were already being talked about a lot in the preseason because of the Aaron Rodgers and because of their great team. They got a great young team around them. But now this week, all we're talking about is the Jets versus your miserable Dallas Cowboys. Your miserable Dallas Cowboys.
They're not miserable.
What a miserable bunch.
I'm used to them disappointing me.
Right.
Dak is not that guy.
That's a theme song.
He's not that guy.
He is not that guy. Say it again.
He's not that guy.
Yes.
Yeah. We all know it. If you don't think you know it, dig deeper. You do know it.
Right. He'll let you down sooner or later, and most likely sooner than later.
Right.
And and hopefully that sooner is versus the Jets. I can't stand. I was on the plane watching the Giants get dismantled.
Massacred.
I was trying to think to myself, as a New York sports fan, and again, I know that you're broadcasting gleefully to the tri-state area, and I'm happy to be talking to you guys, but I was trying to figure out, historically, in my DNA, outside of fantasy football, what hurts me more? The Red Sox beating any New York team, and I could care less about baseball.
Right.
I don't follow baseball. Right. I bet on baseball, right. Legally, of course.
Of course, yes.
Legally. I was trying to think of what hurts more, the Red Sox beating the Yankees or the Mets, or the Dallas Cowboys beating the New York Giants. And obviously, I had to go with the Red Sox. And again, I football is my number one sport along with NBA.
Yeah.
But there's something about the Yankees losing or the Mets losing to the Red Sox that really is really hurtful.
All right, you're a Knicks fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you must feel the same way I do about the Knicks as I do about the Cowboys, that as long as Jerry Jones owns that team, we're not going to see another Super Bowl, and I'm thinking you feel the same way about the Knicks. Listen, as long as that family owns that team.
Oh. Dolan.
You're not going to get little
Jim Dolan.
Right.
Do you guys play his music on the station?
No.
Yeah, he's a bluesman.
That's like a bad snack cake.
Little Jim Dolan. What is it called? His group is called
Jim. Are you allowed into Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
Okay.
So far.
So you're one of the few.
I'm allowed into Madison Square Garden if I pay.
Okay.
My days of being a superstar actor, free tickets, they're done.
Right.
But I will say, when I show up to Knicks games, people are very aware that I'm in the building. I was at UFC recently.
Not just the fans.
I'll leave it at that.
Fans. Right.
The last time I was at a Knicks game last season, and there was a whole uproar of me before I got there, and then a whole uproar while I was there, and then a whole uproar when I left. And it's the fans are happy to see me. It's some other forces people that were not happy. And listen, little Jimmy Dolan, the bluesman, you know, he's a bluesman. We're gonna
play some music for you from Jimmy Dolan.
Oh my God,
after
really?
The break.
Yikes. I think it's like Jim Dolan and the G Snaps.
JD and the Straight Shot.
And you know, it's always
like annoyed that you knew that.
I looked it up.
If you're listening to the blues, of course you want a guy who grew up as a billionaire's
son.
That's
a billionaire's son.
That's where, like, you know, Muddy Waters came through the same thing.
Right.
Robert Johnson. You know, Etta James, like the blues comes from, guys that grew up the sons of billionaires. So, of course, he's
being granted sports teams in New York.
Buildings.
Everyone knows that history. Right.
Can't find nice khakis.
It was all the Rockefeller family. Right. That was all what it was.
They don't have my Rolls Royce in the color of
Banana Republic. Don't have khakis.
My private jet smells a little funny. B.B. King sang that song. That's a B.B. King song.
He ripped it right off.
Yes.
I went to a Starbucks.
And my New York Knicks stink.
We'll leave it right there.
Oh boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Comedian, actor, director, social media god, and fantasy football senior analyst Michael Rapaport in studio. Good morning, sir.
Was there a guru word in there, too?
Guru.
He got it right.
Cult follower.
Just checking.
Yes.
all right, first headline in Dumbass News. Son of a billionaire decides to sing blues. I actually pulled up some Jimmy Dolan here singing blues.
I don't want the listeners to stop listening.
Right.
I'm concerned for the big picture.
Right.
But let's try.
You're watching our back.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
All right. Here's a clip.
Well, tell me.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if he did sound as
that
good
would
as,
be
like,
crazy,
Howlin' Wolf?
Right? Like, if he said, like, that, out of that little 5'4", short, dumpy body, was just like, you know,
Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah, it was like ridiculous.
Would make him
and we
even
had
more
to shut
annoying.
Up. We had to go, yo, he sounds good, man.
Like, I don't want to like him, but man, that's good.
I want to throw him a fish.
Yeah, like, it's so good.
Did you bring in, did you pull any up or no?
I did. Before I play, I will play some for you.
Okay.
This specific song that I found was written about something that was very personal to him, apparently. Oh. Mm. And it was that he felt he should have personally stopped Harvey Weinstein before everything happened. That's what this song's about.
Oh.
It's called I Should Have Known.
Wow. Oh. The cable's out.
This is what he's writing a song about?
I swear to God.
He's making that tragedy about himself.
Yes, of course.
Right.
I should have done something, yes.
And we make the Knicks tragedy about ourselves.
We were friends.
Nope.
We were friends.
Listen to that little weak voice.
It's like a minstrel. Yeah.
About his latest.
It's a minstrel.
It's more of a minstrel.
Yeah.
Glory. All the
who cares?
Who
cares? His soul.
Yeah, this is not blues.
No. I got a blues listening to it.
He could lose. All he need to do was
I got a flu listening to
saying
it.
I knew he was doing this, but I looked the other way.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, of course it comes out.
That's really
just well
good.
After everything.
Yeah, that's smart to say that. Like, you knew he was doing it, but I looked the other way. It just goes to show the character. Listen, I already got enough problems at the Garden. But I will say, Jim Dolan sometimes is sitting courtside with, you know, gorgeous supermodels. And I'm sure they're there because of just
the
depth of who he is as a person. And also the looks.
Right.
The guy being 5'4", you know, with like, you know, like a bleached beard and bleached hair. Like, that's what, like a 20-something supermodel, they're always looking for that. It's not because you own the team.
No.
It's just they like being next to some, like a sexually magnetic person.
Right,
like,
right.
If all that went away, you'd still be running from these women.
Right.
They'd yes. still be tracking them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
I guess none of us are going to Knicks games.
Yeah, we're done.
I wasn't going to go anyway, so.
Yeah, he has that that facial recognition.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And he was, like, grabbing people and throwing them out.
Because who throws fans
hey, Ruth,
out?
Take
who
all
throws
of our
Charles Oakley out?
Right.
Charles Oakley, that was so disappointing.
Wow.
That was so upsetting.
That's when you have power beyond power. Like your mind has just gotten away with you.
Right.
You get gotten away with it.
Next to Hollywood Volcano Lair.
Yeah. That's almost like
goodbye, Mr. Bond.
I don't want to say some horrible name from history, but like you're just drunk with power.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where no one can disagree with you.
Yeah, take it down a notch.
Yes.
Right. If he were a king back in the day, he'd be just executing people for disagreeing with him.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right, right. Or because
like
Wednesday.
He'd be the easiest guy to ignore if this all was, like, happening in Cincinnati. You know?
You know
and, like,
I,
nothing against Cincinnati, but, like,
no
you're in charge of the most, like, famous arena on the planet in, like, one of the most important cities, according to sports fans, and he just is ruining it.
But don't they call it the Napoleon Complex?
You know, it's funny.
Short, they make up for it by being a-holes.
I didn't even know I cared so much about James Dolan.
I haven't said his name in
see
years.
See what you did to me, Mike?
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah. We went down
years.
The rabbit hole. That's why I was like,
we
I don't
went
like,
down
I
the rabbit
once
hole.
You brought it up, I was like, it's hard to get at
it's
it.
It's hard to get out of
find
it.
The exit now, like IKEA.
All right. We don't want to spend all of our time talking about
no.
this. We're going to do
happy
some
stuff.
Football trivia in a second.
Yes.
The tribe can call in. But I want to talk to you about your movie stuff because you're one of these guys. It's like you could talk to them about sports or movies or really anything.
Yes.
But did you try out for Pulp Fiction?
I did. I did audition for Pulp Fiction, yes. Obviously, I didn't get it, but that was, you know, I was a young actor, and there was such excitement on Quentin Tarantino. I had just done True Romance, which he wrote, and the late, great Tony Scott directed. And, you know, after Reservoir Dogs, I read the script of Pulp Fiction. This was at a time when, you know, there was no email, so your agent would, you know, get you the script and right. you'd read it and your friends, you know, like, oh, yeah. I read it too. And, you know, it was just a cool.
Wow, so you read that script.
Wow. Yes. Yep.
And what was your take on
it? Was
on
great. It was awesome. I remember reading it. I had this green chair in this apartment that I used to live in. And, you know, and I just remember reading it. And, you know, it was like, you know, being passed around and talked about by everybody wanted to be in Pulp Fiction. You just knew it was going to be special. And, you know, there was like you know, when Quentin Tarantino came on the scene for the fans, obviously we knew he was special. But you know, there was just a special excitement about what he was doing, and so I had auditioned to play one of the one of the guys in that scene, that famous scene, you know, when Sam Jackson and John Travolta come in there, something
the apartment.
Burger. Yeah. So one of those guys, I can't remember
Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Right.
And you know, obviously the actors that played those parts were excellent, and it wasn't a disappointment to not get the part. It was just exciting to have the opportunity
that he saw you in a movie that he wrote,
yeah,
and said, I want this guy to try out.
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
That was enough for me.
That's
my favorite line is, what does Marcellus Wyatt look like?
Oh, yeah.
What did he look like? Does he look like a bitch?
Yeah. They speak English or what?
Yes. Yeah. It just was,
say what again?
Yeah, it's just so good. So good. So,
I could see you being a good Jimmy. Quentin called his own number for that one, but I could see you playing that role really well.
That would, listen, everything he's done is fantastic. And I would love to get a chance to work with him.
You think he's only going to do one more movie?
He keeps saying so.
He says he doesn't
play around. You know, he's young. He's relatively young to stop making movies. So he might be done. I wouldn't be surprised if he was done, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he made another movie.
Right.
But you know, he's very clear on what he's wanted to do, and he's articulated wanting to make this amount of movies for years. It hasn't just like didn't just pop up out of nowhere and he said, oh, this is gonna be my last movie. He seems very clear on what he wants to do with his life and what he wants to do with his career. So we'll see. I mean, you know, he's like Shakespeare. You know, he's like
he's like a very
important
modern day Shakespeare.
Yeah, man. Artist.
So you read the Pulp Fiction script,
yeah,
and then you're watching the movie. Did the movie live up to the script?
100%. Beyond.
Wow.
Yeah. Even better, but the script was so well written and so popped off the page reading it.
And having seen Reservoir Dogs, you already knew what he was capable
of. Yeah, and before Pulp Fiction, we saw Natural Born Killers. We saw True Romance, which I was in.
By the way, that movie ages beautifully.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
And when you read the cast.
Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing with the script, though.
Insane.
When you read that script, you're like, this can't not be great. It's a matter of how great it's going to be.
Right.
That's a rare thing. You know, at a young age, like, I knew that film was going to be good. You don't know that people are going to talk about it literally 30 years later, but you just knew this was going to be a good film. And, you know, the time for me being 23, 24 years old and being on the set with Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette and, you know, Gary Oldman and Christopher Walken and, you know, this young, who's this guy? Oh, this is James Gandolfini. Oh, yeah, this is his first movie. And,
right.
You know, Brad Pitt, you know, we all thought he was going to have a career. I don't know what happened to him. He seemed like he was going to do something.
Yeah. It just kind of faded.
He kind of, you know, like he had the looks and the talent. I don't know what happened, but it was just an exciting time. And, you know, it's a film that people talk to me about every day, really.
Yeah.
So I am very appreciative of all those things. And do not take any of those memories and opportunities for granted.
Oh, my God. You're in so many things.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yep.
Yep.
Another one. Doesn't seem to go away.
Yep.
Isn't that nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're Phoebe's boyfriend.
People will remember that 100 years
from
now.
Yeah, that's like the... It's like
I Love Lucy.
Yeah, yep.
You were basically in I Love Lucy.
Yeah, 100%.
You had to shoot that bird.
Yeah. I had to shoot... I could have been the Phoebe Buffay. It could have been me and
Mr.
Phoebe Buffay.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I would have been Mr. and Mr. Buffay.
You could have done a duet of Smelly Cat.
Exactly.
And then Copland.
That's
another classic.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's a good film.
Yep.
Good film.
The only time Stallone's fat.
Story doesn't happen without your character.
That's true.
That's right.
Yeah, you begin the whole thing. Yep.
Superboy. Yeah. Murray Superboy. To play a character named Murray.
Murray.
Just that alone is worth, the opportunity.
Do you have to read for that or do they know you're the guy?
For that film, I did not have to read for.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, but, you know, sometimes you have to audition, sometimes you don't, and, you know, it is what it is. You know, auditioning sucks, whether you're at the beginning of your career. It's never fun. I've never had a problem with auditioning. Like, I'm always comfortable with it.
Do you tell yourself something before you do it?
Yes.
What do you tell yourself?
I approach it like it's a fight. To me, it's like I'm Mike Tyson in his prime, and I approach it like it's a fight. As I've gotten older, it's more like relaxed because I understand the politics and the bureaucracy. And you could be, you could give an incredible audition, but you, you know, they might want somebody who's 5'7". They might want somebody who, you know, has dark hair because the other actor or actress has, you know, blonde hair.
Right. It, there could be politics behind it.
It could be a number of different things. You just might not be the right person, even though it, you feel like you're totally the right person. You know, when you're younger, you take them more like a rejection.
It's got to be tough.
Yeah, but you know, like that was not anything that has ever got in my head too much. Like there'll be disappointments, but you just got to keep going. And as much as it sucks, it keeps you on your toes and keeps you humble and keeps you hungry. And you know, in show business, like any other business, but particularly, you know, my business, which is the only thing I know is, you know, talent is one thing, but the longevity has to do with the tenacity. You have to have the tenacity to want to keep going, the tenacity to keep reinventing yourself, the tenacity to deal with strikes like we're on now, the tenacity to deal with shows being canceled that you think shouldn't be canceled. All those things, it's about the tenacity. That's, for me, you know, how I look at it. You know, I like a lot of sports references because that was sort of my right. first mentality growing up is I wanted to be a professional basketball player. Obviously, I came nowhere near
right.
accomplishing that. You said
well,
right, like you knew, like nowhere near.
Garden,
he
know
he
so
emphasized no, because I sang nowhere near, and he said right. Of
well,
course,
well,
you
I knew
would
I wasn't
be an actor.
I knew I wasn't going to be that way.
Why would you? No, because I heard it.
He agreed quickly.
He just said like real quickly before I said he was like right. Of course, Rappaport,
you were meant to be an actor.
You were never going to be a basketball player
or a
why
fantasy football
think?
Analyst.
Exactly right. You had all these things ahead of you. Still.
And then even like with this fantasy football analyst, he's like right. Like you're calling yourself that, and like there's people at home like. Dry heaving, laughing. Why would you call yourself a fantasy football athlete? And that's fine. That's fine. No, I'm just playing.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.